Would you bow with me for prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Barb, if you'd bring up that slide, there should be, and that doesn't show up really well because of the lights, unfortunately. But the lady that you see there in the slide, of course, in the, I was going to talk about saints first. In the Protestant tradition, of course, we don't do the sainthood thing. We are all saints. But you may have seen in the news that Mother Teresa was canonized today, and most of us would regard Mother Teresa as definitely a Christian to look up to and to emulate, although I did get a kick out of this morning Doris Waybright. Apparently this was reported to me that Doris said canonized. Wouldn't a shotgun have done it? And as I said, in the Protestant tradition, we don't do the sainthood thing, but there are certainly Christians that we would want to look up to and pray, wow, Lord, if my life could emulate hers. And this lady is one. Her name is Helen Rosevere. Helen is now, she was born in 1925. She's now 91 years old, and she lives in Northern Ireland. She was a medical missionary in the Congo, Central Africa, from 1953 to 1973. I was first acquainted with her when I was 20 years old in 1976. She was one of the speakers at the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship Urbana Missions Conference in Illinois. And she was one of our speakers, and when she was finished, I felt like I needed to take off my shoes. I was on holy ground. You can turn the slide off now. In 1945, Helen Rosevere had been a Christian for about 7 months when she attended a missions convention in Keswick in northern England. And she, along with many other students, stood up to say, Lord, I will go wherever you call and whatever the cost. She had especially been inspired and challenged by Philippians 3:10, where Paul says, my determined purpose is to know Christ, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that I may even know Christ so intimately, prayed Paul. And Helen Rosevere heard this challenge to herself, that I may know Christ so fully that I will enter into his suffering and become like him in his death, that by any means possible, said Paul, this is the close of that verse, by any means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Well, afterwards, after that conference, Helen Rosevere said she went up into the mountains by herself, as she put it, to have it out with God. And she said to God, okay, God, I mean it. Go ahead and make me more like Jesus, whatever the cost. But please, when I feel I can't stand anymore, and when I cry out, no more, please ignore me. And remember that today I said, go ahead. And then she added, thank God, through all the years, he's kept me to it. Well, a few years after that decision, fresh out of medical school in 1953, Helen went to Central Africa as a medical missionary. She had skipped over her internship and residency because, in her words, she couldn't stand the sight of blood. And in her naive thinking, she thought, well, out there on the mission field, you know, the only thing I'll be doing is dispensing pills and maybe giving an inoculation every now and then or applying a bandage. Her very first patient was a woman in labor, and it became clear very quickly that this woman was going to require a C-section delivery. Helen retreated to her room, prayed, got down her medical books and read the directions, went back to surgery, and completed a successful C-section delivery. But she had no idea what was to come in the years that followed. In the 1960s, Africa was roiled by civil wars and wars of rebellion against the colonial powers. And in 1964, Helen Roosevelt was captured by the Simba rebels who were seeking to take over the Congo. During her imprisonment, she was repeatedly beaten and raped. And I want to describe to you, this is the night of her capture in her own words. On the night of October 28, 1964, cruel men broke into my home around midnight. She was single, by the way. She never married. On the night of October 28, 1964, cruel men broke into my home around midnight. It was a wicked, savage night. I had tried to escape from them. What a hope. Six soldiers, armed and with powerful flashlights, surrounded the house and moved in on me as on a trapped animal. Numbed and terrified, I lay in the mud under a meager hedge. Pulled roughly to my feet, I was struck across the face. My glasses went, my nose was gashed and bleeding. A second blow felled me to the ground where the leader's boot crashed cruelly into my face and then my ribs. My back teeth were broken, my whole body bruised. I was driven back to the veranda of my home, jeered at, cursed, and insulted. I wasn't praying. I was beyond praying. Someone back home was earnestly praying for me. I don't know how she knew that, but she did. If I had prayed any prayer, it would have been, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Suddenly, there was God. I didn't see a vision or hear a voice, but I just knew with every ounce of my being that God was actually vitally there, God in all his majesty and power. And he stretched his arms out to me and surrounded me with love and seemed to whisper, 20 years ago, you asked me for the privilege of sharing my suffering. This is it. Don't you want it? This is what it means. These are not your sufferings, they are my sufferings. All I ask you is the loan of your body. She goes on, he didn't stop the sufferings. He didn't stop the wickedness, the cruelties, the humiliation, or anything. It was all there. The pain was just as bad, but it was altogether different. It was in Jesus, for him, with him. It was exactly what Psalm 96, verse 9 says. Zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. It's not a gift any Christian really wants, but there is no greater gift than to so live into Jesus that the opposition and persecution that he encountered would fall on us. God said to Helen Roosevelt, all I ask of you is the loan of your body. That's all God asks of any of us. It is that simple and it is that huge. In just a moment, we're going to say some words that we say every first Sunday of the month for communion, that I belong in life and in death, body and soul, not to myself, right? but to my faithful Savior Jesus. And there is no way of knowing where that relationship is going to take us. But the one thing we know is that it will be with Jesus. And throughout history, people like Helen Roosevelt that have followed Jesus into incredibly and painfully dark places, they all testify the same. He's worth it. Knowing him is worth it. For 2,000 years now, Christians have seen Psalm 69 as a prophecy about Jesus, as a prophecy about his suffering and death on the cross. And so what I want to do today, and remembering Helen Roosevelt, we're going to come back to her in a minute, but mostly remembering our Savior as we come to the Lord's table later on, what Psalm 69 says to us. And let's give thanks for Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin. Verse 9, zeal for your house has consumed me. Well, Jesus' followers remembered that verse right after he drove the money changers out of the temple. Remember, Jesus came in the beginning of what we call Holy Week, and he saw the racketeers who had set up a money-making enterprise at the outer court of the temple to prey on people, and particularly to prey on the poor who were coming in to make sacrifices, and they're making money off of God's house. And Jesus, in John's gospel, tells us he made the whip himself. This is no gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Zeal for the house of God consumed him, and he drove them out violently. Give thanks today for the burning love of Jesus, who defends his people like a good shepherd. And then the latter part of verse 9, the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Paul quotes this verse in Romans 15 to describe the determination of Jesus, that he was determined not to live for himself, but to live for us, to live for others. And mostly his determination to please not himself, but to please the Father. You remember that this is what Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That's amazing love. I can't fathom an attitude that says to God, it's my pleasure not to please myself, but to please you, Father. Let the hatred that they direct at you, let that hatred fall on me. So let's give thanks today as we come to the table. Let's give thanks for the sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Verses 1 and 2 of our psalm, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the floods sweep over me. It's in Luke's gospel that Jesus speaks about his coming death on the cross as a kind of baptism. He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. He went through a drenching in death, a drowning in death, a deep mire with no foothold, drowning in our sin, in the sin of the world. We can't measure the depth of love like this. So once again, as we come to the table, give thanks for the love of Jesus, the Lamb of God. And then verse 20 and 21, reproaches have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, for comforters, and found none. I'm going to stop right there. Remember when he took his disciples with him into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and he said, watch with me. And he called his three closest friends, what he thought were his three closest friends, to come along with me and said, watch with me. And they all went to sleep, everyone. And it's one of the most heartbreaking scenes in the gospel when he says, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? I looked for comforters, and I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. And this misery of Jesus on the cross was compounded. All four Gospels report that he was given sour wine, offered sour wine to drink, that he refused. Now, question, why do all four Gospels put such focus on the suffering and death of Jesus? Because that's his mission. That's the heart of his mission. That's what he came to do. And Isaiah prophesied that by his wounds we are healed. That's why we gather around this table. That's why we love the name of Jesus. Because as Paul told the Corinthians, God made him to be sin who knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And there's yet another way to see Psalm 69, as Helen Roosevelt did when she was given the gift of experiencing the suffering of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples. Karen read it a minute ago. If the world hates me, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Brothers and sisters, renounce the accolades of the world, because they're not coming anyway. Renounce the approval of the world. It's not coming anyway. If we follow Jesus, we will get the rejection and condemnation of the world. Helen Roosevelt was asked many years later, she served in the Congo 20 years, and she remained in the Congo many years after she was released from her imprisonment. She was director of she built a major hospital there. She was director there for many years. She trained many Congolese folks as medical workers to take basic medical care out into the remote villages. And she was asked many years later after she came home to England, she was asked, was it worth it? All that you accomplished there in the Congo, was it worth the suffering that you endured? And she immediately said, no. It wasn't worth it. And she said, that was an honest answer, but immediately Jesus whispered in my ear, Helen, they asked you the wrong question. It's not, was it worth it? Am I worth it? And she said, yes, Lord. You're worth it. Knowing you has been worth it all. Zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Let us live and pray that that may be said of us too. Let's pray. Bow with me, please. Lord Jesus, we pray this prayer with trepidation, that the reproaches that fell on you might fall also on us. Oh Lord, that's not up to us to decide, and only you. But I pray, give us grace to follow where you lead and to serve and honor only you. Lord, deliver us from seeking the approval and accolades of the world. But Lord, to seek only to hear from you, well done, good and faithful servant. We thank you for your suffering in our place that makes us new, that invites us to this table today. We thank you with hearts full of gratitude. In the name of Jesus and for his sake, amen.